Now we have the letters bag, which this week has people writing in about electric cars, the opening of the castle, being watched, and pronunciation.
George Nobbs of Norwich says the castle revamp looks stunning. One of the great pleasures of living in a fine old city like Norwich is to be able to watch the progress of various building projects in its ancient streets. So I was pleasantly surprised to see from the bottom of the bridge that the new entrance to the castle is now open. I was assured that the news had been received with full coverage in the local media, but somehow I completely missed it. As a great partisan of the castle's restoration, I was one of those people who was nonetheless worried about how the new entrance would fit in with William Wilkins' elegant design of 1825. I need not have worried. What was once a window next to the old entrance to the county jail has been transformed into a light and inviting new access to the museum. And once inside, I was presented with a breathtaking view of a wall of the Norman keep unseen for generations, covered with a stylish glass roof. I think that it was early 2015 that Museum Director Steve Miller launched his vision to restore Norwich Castle to its medieval splendour, with the full backing of the county and city councils. We've come a long way since, and there may have been many obstacles which could not be foreseen, and there's still a long way to go, but judging by the smiling enthusiasm of the good folk of Norwich and Norfolk who thronged the castle entrance, the finished results will be worth waiting for. And I almost forgot, there's an excellent restaurant that overlooks the new entrance.
We don't need rain-sensing car wipers, comments Nicholas Dixie of Mundham. Rather than rushing out to buy an electric car in order to be green, we should be keeping what we've got and running it for a decade or two. I was astonished to read the manufacturer of a new electric car creates 8.5 tonnes of carbon dioxide. So how green is that? It doesn't run on air. Electricity has to be generated to fuel it. Its massive batteries cannot be recycled. So where's the benefit? Cars used to rust out. Now scrapyards are piled high with cars that are structurally sound but have an electrical fault. In order to build in obsolescence so the manufacturers can keep demand up, our cars have absurdly complex electrical systems that appear impossible to repair. Who really needs rain-sensing wipers anyway? Personally speaking, I have a fair idea of when it's raining and when it's not. We don't need complexity. With simplicity, we could keep cars running for much longer, thereby saving the enormous amounts of pollution generated by building new ones. The cars we already own can all be eco cars. We just have to keep them running.
Steve McKinder says he's not happy with all these spy cameras. There's no doubt law and order needs to be upheld by the police, but I find myself increasingly uneasy at the proliferation of spying cameras on our streets and the use of our phones to capture the world around us. A recent news story featured close-up pictures of four currently innocent men the police would like to speak to about incidents at a football match. Further into the newspaper, we see video-captured clips of paramedics filmed seemingly larking about while attending an emergency call-out. I don't recall agreeing to being snooped on by the state with CCTV or number plate recognition monitors or by neighbours with doorbell cameras, and I surely haven't agreed to this data being harvested and stored for public or state use. There will be those who say there's nothing to worry about if you've got nothing to hide. But it's clear this creeping interference will be used to monitor and control us. Big Brother has merely become something we're numb to, but we'll live to rue the day we allowed our every waking moment to be captured and digitised. I think prurient snooping and state interference is destroying our ability to enjoy our private lives privately. And while the four men featured in the press may have broken laws, they may also be totally innocent, and we've just been part of their humiliation. They say the camera never lies. Are we sure it's still true?
When did the river become Seine? Writes Penny Smith of Horsford. I am 70 years old and consider myself to be well educated. So when did the river that flows through Paris become the River Seine? I have always thought the River Seine was pronounced Seine. In fact, when I was a child, there was a joke. If you fall into the Paris River, you will be insane. Recently, a local TV newsreader was talking about the River Nene. I have always pronounced it as Nene, but she said the River Nene. When were these pronunciations changed? Why and by whom?